Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
Let's pray before we jump in and look at this passage, these passages together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the ways that you have already been at work here in our midst. And we know that you're working all the time. As we're coming in here, you're doing so many things already. And we ask now that you would give us your spirit. Lord, pour out your spirit upon us that we may be able to hear and receive what you have for us this morning. Be with us as we continue to talk about prayer as a church over these 7 weeks. Lord, continue to invite us into the gift it is to be able to commune with you in prayer as our Father who loves us. And so would you use this time now, these few minutes again, to that end. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. In the fall of 2022, I found myself in a room with 10 other pastors talking about prayer. And in case you've never gotten to experience it, being in a room with 10 pastors talking about anything is kind of a unique experience. There is no shortage of words or ideas or references to obscure books and authors and quotes. But we were there, this group of us, in a cohort together, where we would read books about ministry and different aspects of leadership, and then we'd get together once a month to discuss them in hopes that we would grow as pastors and leaders. And the first session we had was about prayer. And we just read Paul Miller's book, A Praying Life, a book I've already used, a good book, a book I've already used some in this series. But there was one specific part of the book that we got stuck on as a group. This part of the book where Paul Miller talks about the validity of praying for parking spots. And he tells of reading a book where a theologian implied that it's selfish to pray for things like parking spots, because what if you get one and someone else doesn't? Well, Miller says that he read that and thought about it and said, I couldn't wait. He said he couldn't wait to tell his mom. His mom, Rose Marie Miller, who is a longtime missionary with her husband, Jack, and she actually just died this past March at the age of 101 while still serving as a missionary in London. So you can imagine the kind of person she was. And so Paul Miller went to his mom and he told her about what he read in this book, and he writes of her reaction. He says, she looked a little incredulous, cocked her head, started laughing, and said, how else would you find a parking place? And it was her response that brought a bit of tension into the room as the 10 of us discussed. Her heart of simple trust clearly struck a nerve, and we wanted more of that for ourselves, but it also knocked us back onto our heels, wondering, can we pray like that? Is it selfish? Well, that discussion wasn't the end of the wrestling with this for me. I continue to feel that question in my heart as I think about prayer and the way I pray. Do I pray about everything like that? Can I pray about everything like that? Even the small daily needs I have as I go through my life, is that what Jesus means when he tells us to pray each day for daily bread? Well, those are some of the questions we're going to wrestle with today as we continue our sermon series on prayer, this series where we're thinking about prayer and specifically learning to delight in prayer. We're going to ask and wrestle with this question, just how personal, just how normal, if I can say it that way, is my prayer life? I know I'm supposed to pray for God's will, for God's glory, for God to work in my heart and to transform me and the people around me. Yet where does prayer fit into the normal day-to-day of what I do? As I work, as I play, as I do all of the normal things, where does prayer fit into all of that. Well, here, near the end of his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul gives us some insight in the middle of this part of this letter where he's giving a few different encouragements to his friends. He gives a push about prayer. And what he tells them and what he tells us is that we can and we should pray about everything. He says this in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so let's take that big idea that we can and we should pray about everything, and let's break it down in three ways as we work through these two verses. And let's think, number one, about why to pray about everything. Number two, how to pray about everything. And then third, what happens when we pray about everything? Okay, first, why to pray about everything. And what does Paul say? Well, the first thing he says before he tells us to pray about everything is, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything, he says. That's why I want you to pray about everything, because I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to be filled with worry. And what Paul is assuming about the human heart is that it naturally drifts toward worry. He's assuming that the human heart naturally drifts toward being anxious about what's happening and about what's going to happen. When I was 19 years old, a freshman in college and a new Christian, new to the world of the Bible, I remember reading the last part of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says something similar to what Paul says here in Philippians 4. He says, "Do not be anxious about your life." And he goes on to talk about why not and what to do about it. And it was one of the big moments I can point to where I started to fall in love with the Bible, because it named something that was so true about me in a way I had not experienced before with anything else. Up to that time, I didn't have much of a category for me being an anxious person. But I remember reading that and it hit me, and I started to go around immediately and tell my friends, "Hey, have you read this before? Like, Jesus says you don't have to be anxious." See, Jesus, Paul, all the Bible says, this is the way our hearts naturally go left to themselves. We do worry about our lives, and that's because there are real things to worry about. There are big things to worry about. For the Philippians, it's not just parking spots. As Paul writes to them, they're dealing with three pretty hard things in particular. Number one, they're dealing with opponents of Paul and the gospel who have come to them and are attempting to lead them away from Jesus. Number two, they're worried about Paul, who's their friend, their beloved teacher, the one who brought them the gospel. He's in prison as he's writing this letter. And then third, they're dealing with drama and conflict in their church. It's just verses before this, Paul talks about two important women, Euodia and Syntyche, who need to reconcile to one another. So there are big things they're dealing with that are anxiety producing. And we have big stuff like that too, all the time. But there are small things to worry about as well. The daily, more acute things are hard too. And if I can stay with parking spots, I actually do get stressed out about parking. I think maybe that's part of why that story from A Praying Life resonates with me. Being from a small town, I rarely had to worry about finding somewhere to park growing up. And along with that, I in general can have a hard time in situations where I don't have a plan and it's not clear what I should do. And sometimes in those moments, I can freeze up. And it's one of my least favorite things about myself, but that's what that can happen to me. And so sometimes when I'm driving somewhere I've never gone before and it's crowded and the parking isn't clear and easy, I struggle. And one of the worst all-time examples of this was in Hilton Head 2 years ago for our family beach trip. One night we drove to Sea Pines to have dinner and for the kids to play on the playground there. But when we got there, it was crowded, parking wasn't easy, and I started to get that nervous feeling. Started to get nervous, but I was holding it together, barely, until I thought I had a spot in the lot I was circling, and a guy jumped in front of me and stole my spot. And that sent me over the edge into complete freeze mode, and it was terrible. Like, Sarah got super mad at me for not being more assertive and cutting the guy off. I got mad at her for being mad at me. Then I got mad at everybody there. Like, why are all you people here right now? But mostly I got mad at myself. Like, what's wrong with you? Why is this so hard for you? And there's a lot there to unpack, and I have. I'm okay. But I share that example to show, to highlight, the small things are hard too. Life is stressful. It hits us in different ways, but there are so many things all the time that cause stress and bring anxiety into our lives. And Jesus names some of those things in that passage from Matthew chapter 6. In verse 25, he says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." There he affirms that there are real everyday things that can and do cause us to worry. But let's take it a step further and ask, why? Why does all of that bring anxiety and stress into our souls? And the answer is because you and me weren't made to do life on our own. We weren't made to be independent and to have to handle all these things by ourselves. We were made to depend on God for everything all the time, big and small. But we don't. Because of our sin nature that drives us away from God and towards independence, that's so hard for us to do. And this is why after God saved the people of Israel and brought them out of Egypt and began to form them as a nation, he did this thing as they wandered in the wilderness where every day he would give them food to eat. Every day they would wake up and there it would be on the ground. This food, this bread called manna, bread from God, daily bread for them. And God told the people, "I want you to gather it each day, just what you need for that day. If you try to get more than that, it's actually gonna rot. On the sixth day, I'll give you enough for 2 days so you can rest on the Sabbath. But this is what I want you to do day after day after day, so I can form you and teach you to depend on me." And when Jesus tells you and me to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," in the Lord's Prayer, that's what he's telling us to pray for. Dallas Willard paraphrases it as, "Give us today the things we need today. I want you to learn to depend on me for everything in your life every day." And Paul here is getting at the same thing when he tells us to pray about everything in Philippians chapter 4. Pray about everything. Let all your requests be made known to God. Why? Because God doesn't want you to have to be so anxious and worried as you go through your life. He wants you to learn to depend on him, or as one of Paul's contemporaries, the Apostle Peter, says it, he wants you to learn to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's why to pray about everything. Now let's move from the why to the how to pray about everything. And let's get more practical here, because there's some helpful instruction Paul gives in the middle of verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So the beginning of what he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything." Then the end, "Let your requests be made known to God." What's in the middle? "By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." And I want to think about those two words in particular, supplication and thanksgiving, the two words Paul uses to explain how you and I ought to pray about everything. "I want you to pray about everything," he says. "Bring all your requests to God." And here's how: through supplication with thanksgiving. So first, supplication. What is this? This is the asking. This is coming to God to tell him what you'd like him to do for you. Petition is another word we use for it. It's laying out your requests to God. In his work on Philippians 4, Alec Motier, a former Bible scholar and professor in England, says prayer through supplication deals with the how question. The question of, how am I going to get what I need? How am I going to do whatever it is? How is this thing I need going to happen for me. In supplication, we ask God for what we need, pointing us away from ourselves and our own resources to Him and His resources to provide. Then thanksgiving. Paul says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. This is looking back, reflecting, and thanking God for who He's been and what He's done for you in the past, how He's already provided for you and given you what you need so many times in your life. Motir says thanksgiving addresses the why question. The question, why has this happened to me? Why am I in the position of need and struggle that I'm in right now? When we pray with thanksgiving for God's provision in the past, it pushes us to remember how much God loves us, how much He cares for us, so that whatever His answer to our request is, we can trust His heart and know His plans for us are good and rooted in His love. And again, since I want to be practical, let's apply this to my example trying to park. What would it look like for me next time I get nervous about parking to pray this way? Because usually I don't pray in these situations. I definitely didn't pray in that story from two summers ago I shared. I tend to think it's too small. I should be able to do this myself. But what if instead I listened to Paul in Philippians 4 next time and prayed? What would that look like? Well, let's think about it. Supplication would be me simply pausing to stop and asking God for help. As I'm driving up and I know I'm going to a crowded place and parking might be tough, noticing that I'm anxious about it and pausing there to ask God, Lord, would you help me find a spot when we get there? How am I going to do it? I know I'm bad at it. Would you lead me? But more important than that, pausing to tell Him how I feel. Lord, I'm anxious. I'm anxious and I don't want to be. I'm ashamed. This is hard for me. So would you help me? Would you take away my anxiety and give me peace so I can stay grounded and love everybody well around me and not freeze up and lose my mind? The how question. Then supplication with thanksgiving, getting at the why question, because what if God's will is for me not to find a spot? What if He wants me to drop Sarah and the kids off and have to circle the parking lot for 30 minutes and be really frustrated about it? What if it's His will for me to have to struggle and wrestle with the anxiety and shame I feel? Praying with thanksgiving becomes so helpful because as I pray and ask for help, I also thank Him for the way that He cares for me, the way He's with me, the way He provides for me every day, including all the ways He's already provided for me that day and so many days before. Lord, I want this to be easy. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to be anxious, and yet I know You're here. I know You love me. I know You see me. I know I'm not alone. I know You're going to give me just what I need, even if this is it. And maybe you're thinking, that's kind of intense for something that small. But I want you to think for a second about what it would be like if you prayed that way. What would it be like if I prayed that way? Well, for one, I can tell you Sarah and the kids would be really thankful because I would be a lot different. But seriously, what if we prayed that way? What if you prayed that way about all the parking spot kinds of things in your life? Yes, the big things. But what if you prayed like that about everything? What if instead of reserving only the biggest decisions and trials and challenges in your life for prayer, you learn to live in constant conversation with your Father in heaven? What if through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you learn to depend on Him for it all? What would that do for your heart? What would that do for your life? Paul doesn't leave us wondering about the answer to that question, because he tells us in verse 7, as he tells us finally what to expect when we pray like that, when we pray about everything. And what does he say? On verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul says the peace of God will guard your hearts, your heart and your mind. And the picture here is of the castle of your heart and mind being attacked from the outside. enemies fighting to get in and overtake you and cause you to lose your way. And yet the peace of God will guard you and protect you. That's the promise in Christ Jesus. When you bring all your requests to God, that's Paul's logic. But how does that work? Well, if you can imagine the castle of your heart and mind under attack, if you can use that image, think about it being under attack from the big and small anxieties of your life. And meanwhile, think about a group of soldiers on the outside fighting for you on behalf of the peace of God. The soldiers of the king fighting as hard as they can to keep you safe, and you're there on the inside resting in their protection. But also at the same time, while you're there on the inside, the king himself is with you. And I couldn't help it, but my mind kept going to Aragorn all week and the scene in the Two Towers movie, the second movie of the Lord of the Rings series, when he's in the deepest part of the castle and he rides out to fight back the enemies who are trying to get in. He goes on the bridge as he rides out, and he's just knocking everybody off on both sides. He's the king. He's fighting for his people, guarding his people. Do you see that? What Paul's saying is, where does the peace come from? It comes from the king. It comes in the king, in Christ Jesus, who's with you in all the anxieties and worries by the Holy Spirit. And this is where all your prayers ultimately lead you, to him, to he who is our peace, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, the true bread. You see, this is the point of that manna in the wilderness, that daily bread God gave the Israelites every day for 40 years. He was training them, trying to work it into their psyche and culture as the people of God, that they couldn't do life on their own. They needed him every day for everything, all the time. And then fast forward to Jesus. Years later, in John chapter 6, he tells a group of people who just experienced a similar bread from heaven kind of miracle from him, that this is what it was always about. John 6, verse 32, Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." When Jesus tells you and me to pray for daily bread, when Paul tells you and me to pray about everything, this is where it's going. Yes, God wants to help you and me. He wants to give us the things we need as we go through life. But most of all, he wants to fill you and me with the bread that will satisfy forever. He wants us to know his peace that can never be found in our circumstances, but only in the one who has secured it for us. Peace with God. We could never get on our own. Peace with God that Jesus came to secure for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And if I can try to bring it all together, here's the point. When you and I fail to pray about everything, all of our needs, everything that makes us worried and anxious, big and small, we miss out on the opportunity to feed our souls on Jesus. We miss out on the opportunity to come into his presence and to experience his peace. If I don't pray when I'm stressed about all the kinds of things that make me anxious on a daily basis, I missed out on the opportunity to experience Jesus' presence. His presence, he's already with me, but I miss out on the opportunity to experience it. I miss out on the opportunity to experience his love for me, his care for me, his patience and his kindness with me. I miss that. I miss him. And what I get instead is my own effort to rise above it and all the fallout, usually bad, that comes from that. I miss the peace that surpasses all understanding, meaning simply peace that doesn't make sense based on your circumstances, because it's a peace that's not based on your circumstances at all, but a peace based on the one who's with you in the middle of your circumstances. The same is true for you. And so let me ask you two questions. Two questions. Here's the first one. What parts of your life are you trying to handle on your own today? What parts of your life are you trying to handle on your own today? And then here's the second question. What needs, struggles, anxieties do you have that you're not praying about because they seem too small? As you think about that, whatever comes to mind, I hope you hear the invitation. I hope you feel, I hope you see the encouragement. Jesus wants to know about them all. Your Father wants you to depend on Him for everything in your life. He wants you to know that peace that surpasses understanding. He wants your soul to be filled to the full with the true bread from heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are this kind of God. It's not easy to come to you often with the big things, but it is very easy to think that you're not that interested in things like parking spots or other things that we experience a lot of daily stress around. And yet you tell us that you are. So would you help us to believe that today? Would you help us to learn to pray about everything? All the things that are hard, all the things that we're worried about, so that we may experience your peace, the peace we have in Jesus that does, you tell us, surpass all understanding. And we pray this in His name. Amen.